It is Christ whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week I reminded us that we are in this year of faith that is back in last October. Our former Bishop of Rome, Pope Benedict XVI, asked for a special year of grace, a year in which we reflect on what faith is and how faith can enliven us. He also asked that this is the 50th anniversary of the Vatican Council II. There have been 20 other councils. So this is the 21st council held between years 1962 and 1965. And he asked Catholic pastors to reflect on the documents of Vatican II. I have done that here at St. Mary's last fall, winter, early spring before Lent. I talked about the 16 documents in general, and I told you about the four major documents, three of which I've gone over with you. The document on the liturgy, the document on the church, the document on divine revelation. This is how God speaks to us through sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium of the church. The fourth document I haven't talked about yet. It's the document on the church in the modern world. And this is what we're still in, how we're still in, quote-unquote, the modern world. And so the church is trying to express herself in various ways to a modern world. But we know that after Vatican II, things got off the rails, so to speak. It was a very heady time. Many priests were teaching heterodoxy. They weren't doing what Vatican II asked. There was this quote-unquote spirit of Vatican II that took over. It was so heady that even Pope Benedict, when he was a cardinal, right before he became cardinal, as a theologian, he was with this group. But then this group called for Vatican III. Vatican II had just concluded. And he said, no, this is wrong. I cannot associate with myself with these people any longer. And he broke away from them. Rightly so. When Cardinal Ratzinger became Pope, the first thing he did was laid out for us his game plan for the church, what he planned to, how he planned to run his papacy. And he told the assembled cardinals on December 22, 2005, that after Vatican II, there was this rupture mentality, discontinuity, that whatever happened before Vatican II was old, and whatever happened after Vatican II, with the spirit of Vatican II, well, that's the right interpretation. And he said, no, the proper interpretation, the proper hermeneutic, big word, is a hermeneutic of continuity, that the church's teaching must be seen in its whole, all through the centuries, and that Vatican II must amplify that and express it, yes, in new ways, but it cannot disrupt it, it cannot bring disharmony to the church. So our Holy Father was expressing this for his papacy and for us. Now this wasn't the first time the church has expressed this. On the 20th anniversary of Vatican II, the end of Vatican II, 1985, Pope John Paul II called for a special council, extraordinary synod, to come to Rome to discuss the aftermath of Vatican II. They wrote two short documents. It was the first time there was a mission that something may not be right. He said there is light and darkness after Vatican II. They said that the letter of Vatican II cannot be separated from the spirit of Vatican II. So right there, you had an indication that the church was trying to get us back on track. But the biggest clue comes with the next line. They said, we need a return to the sacred. Well, if one was to just pick up that document in 1985 and just say, oh, a return to the sacred, what has the church been doing for the last 20 years? Well, that's the problem. Many things were not sacred that were done in the name of Vatican II. For example, in the late 60s, the Dutch bishops put together a catechism that was just filled with heresies. It was so bad that Pope Paul VI had to condemn it and write his own document in response to it called the Profession of Faith. This is a wonderful short document on our faith. I highly recommend it. But that was the way with his tenure as Pope. He was always putting out fires here and there, trying to steer the church clear of them. But there were so many, so many. So in 1985, the bishops asked with the Pope for a return to the sacred. And always stuck in the back of my mind, and I always use that as a ethos for how I conduct myself at Mass, to get everybody to realize what we are here about is something sacred. We're here to worship God. And my job as pastor is to present you to the Lord in a special way. It's my job as pastor, as Vatican II called pastors, to be pastors of souls. Now, after Vatican II, that was not needed. There was this general ethos that priests must be, well, good guys, politically correct, don't upset anybody. But that's not what Vatican II called for priests. That priests were to be pastors of souls, which means my job, all priests' jobs, are to get you to heaven, to show you the way to salvation, and to preach against heresy, to preach against error, to admonish you to holiness. And this is what St. Paul was talking about in the second reading. To let you know that you have Christ in you, who is your hope, and that He wants to present you to Christ perfectly. Perfectly. In my last assignment, I had a CCD teacher complain to me after a Sunday Mass, and it was in fact this reading from the second reading that she complained about, but she didn't know it. She said to me, Father, your problem is you expect us to be perfect. And I said to her, you're right. It's a terrible thing to say to somebody, you can't be perfect. It's a terrible thing to say to somebody, God's grace is so good and powerful except for you. I'll never say that. The call to holiness is absolute. The call to holiness is for everyone. We're all called to be saints, to be perfect. But we have to be willing to participate in the grace of Jesus Christ, because it is not us who make ourselves perfect. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit, God's grace that comes to us through the sacramental life, that comes to us through the Eucharist, Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, will strengthen us for perfection. But we have to want it. We have to be willing to try, to strive for perfection. So my job as pastor is to get that message across to you, that we're here at Mass not to put our time in. When I took over as pastor of St. Isaac Job's, somebody told me very early on, Father, Mass here is a half hour flat. I said to him, well, my Masses might be a little bit longer. I try to keep it to an hour, more or less. No promises. 1 hour Mass is how much of our week? What percent is 1 hour? It's 0.6%. It's not even 1% of our week. And that's not too much to ask of anyone who says that they are trying for perfection. So we are called to worship. We're called here to give ourselves to the Lord, to allow ourselves to be lifted up with Jesus to the Father in all our sufferings. And somehow St. Paul says this, it's very, very interesting, that he is filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. So when the nuns used to say, as they did before Vatican II, offer it up, they were quoting Scripture. They were quoting the right mentality of perfection, that we're not here just to satisfy ourselves. We're here for perfection. We're here to try harder, to allow God's grace to change us into saints. So this is the message of the Sunday Gospel, the message of this year of faith. Those fires I talked about, well, they're still going on. We have a big fire to deal with. August 1st, the HHS mandate will take effect. It should have taken effect the last year at this time. President Obama didn't want this to be a political issue for the campaign, so he gave a waiver. But August 1st, the HHS Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, will implement it, forcing all religions, all people of conscience, to participate through their insurance plans with contraception, abortion, sterilization, euthanasia. This is the culture of death in spades. The church cannot participate in this. Unfortunately, there have been a group of nuns who run some hospitals. I don't know what percent of the hospitals, but a good portion of hospitals, Catholic hospitals, who have already come out and said, we're going to go along with the HHS mandate. And the bishops are saying, no, don't do this. So how this will play out after August 1st, I don't know. There are so many Catholic institutions, colleges, universities, that have become so secularized that they're Catholic in name only. They only need a push, a breath, to have them go against the church. So we need to pray. We need to pray first for ourselves, that we have the right attitude of heart and mind, to realize we're called to something great, that to realize that the hope of our glory is Christ within us. And then we have to pray for others, for those who've been misled by the spirit of Vatican II, wrong interpretation or implementation of Vatican II. We pray for the church to be holy, that like St. Paul, that he may present all of us perfect to the Lord.